Father, we thank you that we can come together, even though there are just a few of us. Lord, we thank you that your presence is always promised to us, even where two or three are gathered. And so, Lord, we just pray that we may recognize and acknowledge and experience the reality of your presence here this morning. And Lord, that you would speak to us, whether through the hymns that we sing, whether through reading your word, or whether through hearing about your word, Lord, that you would speak to us. Help us, Lord, encourage us, even though there are difficulties that we have to experience. Lord, we pray that you would help us and be with us and speak to us. We pray for those who can't be here. We think of Pat and Margaret particularly. And Lord, ask that you will have your hand upon them, that you will grant them a safe travelling. Lord, that you will grant them rest and relaxation. And Lord, that they may enjoy their time together and bring them back safely to us, we pray. We ask, Lord, for other families that are represented by ourselves here this morning and indeed throughout the fellowship. Lord, we commit our families to you and pray for your blessing to be upon them. And Lord, that those who need to turn to you, we pray, Lord, that you will cause them by your Spirit to turn to you and to seek, Lord, your hand of grace and mercy upon them and your salvation. Lord, we pray for them. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Number 521, if we can be bold enough to try this, 529. And I've chosen this particularly because of the first line, where it says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, I don't know whether anybody knows where that phrase comes from, the beauty of holiness. You may remember when Wes was here, he read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And in that passage, which we're going to read again this morning, you'll find this phrase, the beauty of holiness. And so we're going to sing this hymn, "Worship the King." 529, "Worship the Lord all glory in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim, with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness. Kneel and adore him, the Lord is his name." 529. I wonder if we could turn to that chapter in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and read the best part of that chapter down to verse 30. This is the situation that Jehoshaphat faced when Israel, or Judah particularly, was surrounded by the Midianites and others, and they were in a bit of a situation. And as we shall read, they didn't know what to do. They really didn't know what to do. And that sometimes may be how we feel when we're faced with difficult situations. We don't know what to do. But it turned out that having sought the Lord, he delivered them. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 1. "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some from that and told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazaz on Tamar, which is Engedi." Engedi is an interesting place, if you look it up, a very interesting place, not just geographically or nature-wise, but because of the future. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even that of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out from the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, for ever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil comes upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came up out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come out to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then, upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem, and thou, King of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall he be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead body with the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves more than they could carry away, and there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the front of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries where they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, and his God gave him rest. Let's pray again, shall we, as we think about that passage and remember other matters before us. Lord, we do thank you for your word and for the help and encouragement that it gives us, for the instruction that it gives us. Most of all, Lord, it teaches us about who you are, a great and eternal God, whom you have called us to come into fellowship with through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do bow down before you, just as those people of old, your people of old, did. We bow down before you and acknowledge you to be our God, the eternal God, the God of heaven, the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God who is near. And Lord, we thank you that we can come this morning. We can read your word, we can sing your praise, we can bring our petitions to you, O Lord, and ask that you will have your hand upon us and upon all whom we bring to you at this time. We've already prayed for Margaret and Pat, Lord, and we pray now for Jim and Brenda. Lord, we commit them to you too. We pray for those, Lord, whom we miss amongst us, and Lord, ask that you would have your hand upon them. And Lord, that in your goodness, Lord, there may be a coming together, Lord, of your people, that you will be pleased to send us, Lord, or bring back to us, Lord, your people, that we may be a congregation before the Lord, bringing our praise and worship to him. Lord, we bring our country to you. You know the concerns that we have about our nation, and Lord, we pray that you will be merciful to us, Lord, that you will cause the proclamation of your word to go forward today up and down our land, wherever it is done, however it is done, Lord, that people may hear, that people may believe, as we were encouraged in this passage to do, to believe on the Lord God and to see his salvation. And so, Lord, we do pray for others of your people. We pray for your people across the world, Lord, who some of whom are in very difficult situations. Some are being persecuted because they believe in you. Some are being imprisoned. Lord, we pray for them because we feel their suffering. Your word tells us if one member suffers, the whole body suffers together. And Lord, we feel that suffering this morning of your people, where we meet in relative freedom, and Lord, no one to disturb us. Lord, there are those of your people who, Lord, if they are allowed to meet, do meet in fear, physical fear. And Lord, we pray that you will comfort them and protect them. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, and we seek your blessing upon us in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know whether you remember Wes reading that passage 3 weeks ago now. It's a job to remember, isn't it? All that time ago. But he did read that passage, and it's one I've read before, and I think going back some years now, we read it here one Sunday afternoon, I seem to remember. It's a very interesting passage. Maybe it's a little cameo of what will happen in the future as far as Israel is concerned. We face problems. We face problems individually. We face problems in our country. There are problems and difficulties all over the world. and we think, what on earth can we do? What's going to happen? Problems in the world, problems in the country, problems personally, problems in the church, whether our church or any other church. There are many churches that have problems. And so we're not alone in that. Whether that's a comfort to us or not, I don't know. I don't suppose it is really to know that other churches are going through difficulties, but it's the climate in which we live, spiritual climate in which we live. As Jesus warned us, there will be wars and rumours of wars. But the question is, when we think about all of that, when we think about all of those problems all over the world, will God help us? Will God help his people? What has God provided for us to help us and to guide us to him? So we come to this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The problems that Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel faced. There was a great horde of the Midianites and others who were against them, who come to attack them and, if possible, to obliterate them. But of course, they were. God had other ideas because they were his chosen people. Engedi, which we read about earlier, we read again about in Ezekiel 47, 8 and 9. That's why there's a future thing to be thought of as we think about the place called Engedi. It's the only place in that area, I think, that has fresh water. And a lot of people came to Engedi to get fresh water and supplied places around with fresh water. So the reaction, when Jehoshaphat was told of what was happening, and all these armies that had come, verse 2, a great multitude had come against Israel. And verse 3, we read about Jehoshaphat's reaction, as we might have felt, even more than he did perhaps, of fear, to be surrounded by a multitude of armies and wondered how they were going to escape and what was going to happen. But you see what they did? They set their face to seek the Lord, and they proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. Verse 4 goes on, it wasn't just Jehoshaphat, but he gathered all the people of Judah and Jerusalem together to do what? In verse 4, to ask help of the Lord. And they came together. It wasn't just a few dribs and drabs. All the people of the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. What was going to happen? What would they do? How was God going to work in this situation? And so they came to seek God's help in the house of the Lord, which is where God had set his name, in that house, in the temple of the Lord. And then going on to verse 5, what happened when they came together? Verses 5 and 6, Jehoshaphat stood up in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and said, this is his prayer or announcement to the people of Judah, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Perhaps we should stop and think about that. Art not thou God in heaven? And that's the one to whom we come, the God who is in heaven. And doesn't God rule, it may not seem like it at this stage, but doesn't God rule in all the kingdoms of the heathen? Verse 6, art thou not ruler in all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's the confidence that we should have in God, that God is able to deal with the situations that we have no power or authority to deal with. God is in heaven, and he rules in the kingdoms of the heathen, and he has in his hand power and might to bring deliverance, and no one can turn him away. So verse 6, O Lord our God. Notice the way in which Jehoshaphat addresses God and pleads with him. Verses 6 and 7. O Lord, our God, of our fathers, verse 7, art thou no God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? So Joshua's looking back, see what's happened in the past, and coming to God who worked at that point and asking that he would work at this point particularly as well. Art thou not our God? And maybe we have that question. Is God really our God? Does these things happen to us? Has God forsaken us? Well, God hadn't forsaken his people then, and he doesn't now. Then in verse 12, Jehoshaphat goes on praying, wilt not thou judge them? So definitely they know they're up against the enemies, not only of Israel, but the enemies of God, and that he will indeed judge them. You see what he says in verse 12. We have no might, we have no strength to deal with this situation. All these people coming against us, we don't know what to do. There's one thing they could do, one thing they did do. Our eyes are upon thee. And that's where we should be looking this morning and all times. Our eyes are upon thee. Whatever the situation that surrounds us, whatever the situation we find ourselves in, our eyes are upon thee, looking to the Lord to strengthen us, to enable us either to endure the situation or to provide an answer in it. But I like that. I like that phrase. We don't know what to do, but we have our eyes upon you, and that's the best place to put to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord. And then verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. The whole congregation, the whole of the population of Judah and Jerusalem had come together. It must have been quite a sight and quite an atmosphere as they sought the Lord at that point. But then in verse 14, as they were, as they had met together, this man, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. I remember looking at some of the Psalms of Asaph recently. But anyway, Jehaziel was there, and it says in verse 14 at the end, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel as he stood among the congregation. And what happened because of that? Now I don't remember reading about Jehaziel anywhere else, except at this point, because God puts people in a particular place at a particular time to give a particular message. And this is what happened here. And he said, verse 15, hearken, all of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, listen to what, not to what I have to say, but listen, because the Lord has spoken. So all the people, Jehoshaphat included, thus says the Lord unto you. So this, no one could escape. They were all together, and Jehaziel stands up, and he says, listen to what God has to say to you. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Why should they not be afraid? Why would we not be afraid when we're faced with impossible situations? For the battle is not yours, it is God's. They were God's people, and God had promised to be with them, promised to lead them. They were his, he was their God. So he was not going to let them suffer unduly at any point in time, except when they'd done wrong. And here, particularly in this situation, because they were seeking him, he came to their rescue. The battle is not yours, but it is God's. So these people were against God. Now, we didn't just against Israel, they were against God. So then they had instructions as to know what to do. Verse 16, go down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook, at the wilderness of Jeruel. And you don't need to fight. You don't need to fight in this battle. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now, sometimes when we get in a problem, we think, we run around and think, what on earth can we do? What should we do to deal with this situation? And we try all sorts of things. And it doesn't work always. Sometimes those things may be inspired by the Lord for us to do, but in this situation, and maybe in some of our situations, it's not for ourselves to dream up ideas to get out of the problem that we're in. And so the word that came to Jehaziel, which he gave to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, was to set yourselves and stand still and see, wait for the salvation of the Lord to be with you. And don't be fear, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I just wonder, if you put yourselves in Judah's position at this point, and hearing all these things, not to be afraid, you know, surrounded by all these armies, well, not to be afraid, you don't need to do anything, just wait and look to the Lord. That's an easy thing to say, but it's a difficult thing to do, I think. But that's what the Bible says they should do. And maybe there's a lesson for us there. I read this because I think there's so much here that is applicable. And so as a result of hearing that, don't fear, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, you go down against them and the Lord will be with you. So at this point, verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Now, at this point, they hadn't even gone into the battle. They hadn't even won the battle. The battle hadn't been won, but they were still worshipping the Lord. Now, I think there's a lesson there also when we look to the Lord. But their posture maybe indicated their spirit. They bowed, Jehoshaphat particularly, bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all Judah, all the inhabitants, fell down before the Lord, worshipping him. That must have been a great sight, a great experience, a great atmosphere when the Lord had come amongst them like that. And so then in verse 19, the thing goes on. They got up because the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now, when we get a little bit depressed and downcast, we tend to drop our voices. And if I drop my voice, it's not because I'm particularly downcast, but I do drop my voice sometimes, and I don't think I'm dropping it now. Hopefully you can hear. But we can do that because we're fearful, we're afraid, and we don't want to speak out. But these people got up and they praised the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And so there's something to be... there's some power in praise. There's a psalm, it's towards the end of the psalms, where the psalmist says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I might praise your name." And sometimes we get in that position, don't we, of feeling enclosed, imprisoned by circumstances, by a situation, and so on. We find it difficult to bring praise to the Lord. Bring my soul out of prison. Release me from the situation so that I can praise your name. And that's what they did. And so then on the next day, verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and went forth. They went out to meet the armies in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood up again and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe..." Listen to this. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." And believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. "Believe in his prophets, so shall he prosper. Why should they believe the prophets? Because the prophets were sent by God to speak to his people. So they should believe in God, they should believe that he had sent the prophets, and they should believe what the prophets said. The problem was later in Israel's history that they didn't do that, and that's why they got into so much trouble and went into captivity. Jehoshaphat stands up and tells the people to believe in the Lord their God, so they will be established, and to believe his prophets. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. Now, I don't know what you would understand by the beauty of holiness. But of course, we know, we would say God is holy. We know God is holy. What does holiness mean? To be separate. God is God. He can't be involved with other people who think they have other gods. God is completely separate. And he calls his people to be separated unto him. And there's a beauty in that. We may think it's for perhaps a lonely furrow to plough, but there's a beauty in being separated unto God because we're his people. Just to think that God is completely separate because he's a God of glory, he's a God of power, he's a God of majesty. And there's a beauty in that, as we shall see one day. We shall praise in the beauty of holiness as we see him. So they got out and they praised the Lord because his mercy endures forever. And they still hadn't won at this point. And yet they were praising the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Even when you're still unsure of what is going to happen. And I'm sure these people, well, I can't say I'm sure because I don't know, but I wonder what they were thinking as they praised the Lord. Did they really believe that God was going to deliver them? I think they must have. Because God's mercy does endure forever, and the real recipients of that mercy. And so, verse 22, now we come to the crux of the matter. And they began to sing and to praise. And what happened? When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments. They didn't. Jehoshaphat didn't send his army out to do this. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which would come against Judah. And they were smitten. Without Israel having to do, you don't have to fight in this battle. It's the God's battle. He'll do the work. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly to slay them. So we've got Ammon and Moab defeating Mount Seir to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So they all died. All those people were taken. And God won the victory for his people by slaying the people of Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir. There's obviously a history to that, which we read about in Genesis and through the rest of the early part of the New Old Testament. And then verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness to look out and see what was going on, they looked to the multitude, and behold, they're all dead bodies. All dead bodies, fallen to the earth. And no one escaped. No one escaped. God's judgment is final, and no one escapes God's judgment. And when Jehoshaphat, verse 25, came and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And it took them 3 days to take it all away. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, verse 26, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the valley of Berachah unto this day. So they did, they were able to, they were released at that point. Having won, having had the victory given to them by the God, they were able to bless the Lord and to praise him. In verse 26, the Valley of Berachah, the Valley of Blessing, where God had blessed them with a great victory. So then, verse 27 to verse 30, they went back to Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat in the front, and they went back with joy. They went back with joy because God had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries, verse 28, and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. So that was a great, it was always a great situation where the people had come together to seek the Lord, and now they were together to praise the Lord for all that he had done for them. And it must have been quite a loud noise that they were able to make with their instruments, psalteries and harps and trumpets. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdom of, the, of those countries where they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And so Jehoshaphat was able to reign in relative peace for the rest of his, well, for some of the rest of his reign, although the last verses of chapter 20, as so often happened with some of these kings, it wasn't all good. But anyway, the Lord granted victory at this point, and why he granted that victory and what he did for them, the assurance that he gave them, and the help that he gave them. And so we need to trust in him, we need to believe in him, that he is our God. He lives in the beauty of holiness. It is only him. God doesn't have competitors. Well, he does have competitors because we create them, but no one can win against God because he is the final and ultimate authority. He is all power, he is the eternal God, and he lives in the beauty of holiness. It's only him. And as Paul told the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? And win. His is the victor's crown. It was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore when he came to Calvary, but now it's a crown of victory, a crown of triumph. And by God's grace, we share in the victory that he has won. 1 Corinthians 15, at the second to last verse, I think. It's God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn to our hymn books again, if we may, and number 109, where we can give praise to the Lord for his victory, and that he is crowned with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Number 109. Well, we come to share in the bread and the cup together. And I wondered what if we were to share all the thoughts that go through our minds when we come to this point, because we do it every week. And it can come a bit of a habit and we don't think too much about it, but I wonder what thoughts go through your mind as you contemplate the Lord and what he has done for us. And of course there are many things we could spend maybe the rest of the day almost thinking about what the Lord has done for us. We think about his life and the life that he lived and the people that he met and helped and healed and taught. Doing everything, all that was done to complete and to do his Father's will. Everything that Jesus did was to do his Father's will. Not my will, Jesus said, but thine be done. Well, that was said in the Garden of Gethsemane as he approached the cross. But it was his whole life that was given. I think in John's Gospel it says particularly that Jesus came to do everything that his Father wanted him to do. I think it's in John 8 that Jesus said that he did everything to please his Father. we think about the sufferings before the cross, even before the cross came, we think about Jesus' sufferings and what they did to him at that point. The taunting that people hurled at him, as well as the cruel physical aspect of Jesus' sufferings. And of course, what the cross meant to Jesus, dying upon the cross, the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect. And what his burial meant. I don't know whether we often think about that, but what Jesus being buried really meant. And what his resurrection means, we know something of that. And the place that he now has at his Father's right hand, ever interceding for us. There's so much to think about when we stop to think about the Lord. And that's why I think Paul said, when you do this, remember me, because there's a whole lot to remember about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens, what did that achieve for us? Well, we know that we're going to be with him one day. We can have his peace in our hearts now. We have peace with God, Paul said to the Romans, because we know his love and grace towards us. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, and we can look forward to that place that we shall be one day in heaven with him. A place of holiness where we shall be able to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so much more besides. That's just listing a few things that we could think about. Hebrews 9, verse 26, perhaps, just for now, as we come to share in the bread and the cup together. Hebrews 9, verse 26 says this, the last part of the verse. But now once, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That sounds a sort of general situation. But that sin, putting away that sin, included ours. He came once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what it cost the Lord, so that we might come and share together in the bread and the wine this morning and give thanks to him. It's a very privileged position, a very blessed position that we're in to be able to do this. So let's pray. Ask that the Lord would help us and speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you have done everything for us to bring us your salvation, because you came into the world, you lived the life that your Father wanted you to live, you died the death that your Father willed that you should die, and you did everything when you died to take our sin away and to deal with it. You were judged in our place. The load of sin fell upon you. And Lord, we want to thank you that you did that because you loved us. You gave yourself for us. And so, Lord, we come now to thank you and to bring our praise and our worship to you, and to remember in the bread that your body was given for us, and as we drink the cup, to remember that your precious shed blood was given for us too, that we might be redeemed, that our sin might be cleansed away, and that we might have peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we give you our thanks now as we share together. In Jesus' name, amen.